three-part series, we better make sure we associate everything together. Let me just quickly review in 2 minutes, like the great Meir Rosh Hashiva would say, Was haben wir verdient? What did we accomplish up to now? So we attended Shurim, I Hans Schmulevich, if you're in the middle of a shir, he clapped 3 or 4 times and said, Was haben wir verdient? What have we accomplished by all the machinations? In Shir 1, we defined Sakana, introduced the notion of a societal definition of what is acceptable risk or not, set as an upper limit, but there is an immutable and irrevocable definition of sakana, which is not subject to societal change, and that is Heiche de Shriche Zeke Shaini. Also introduced the notion that not all society has a right to be called a society. But there is a concept of society that we use a Torah yardstick to measure it and do not grant it the rights and privileges of other societies. We need to answer this theory in the Rambam in Rotzeach versus Deos, in which Rotzeach, he speaks of Isur for a sakana in the, under the Isur of Osos and Domim Bebeisecho, whereas in all the other Hanhagos, Togos, he only leaves it that way as recommendations, but not the Lashon Isur. Point out that there is another aspect that has to be taken into account, and that, I believe, also stems from the original definition of societal definitions, of societal evaluations, because in areas where you cannot eat raisins and almonds like the Rambam recommends as an ideal food, there are no raisins, there are no almonds, then you eat, Baba Naseinu Arabim, you have to eat rib steaks and lox, even though it doesn't come near it in value and food value, but this is what we have in our society. And basically introduced our notion that if the risk factor be measured against a benefit, that the risk factor is also evaluated, re-evaluated. We reduce the notion of risk as the concept of benefit goes up, so that in areas where food is not plentiful, then you have to eat other foods. Obvious that the tircha that you would have to go through, or actual deprivation to eat only good food, isn't worth the effort, then the risk becomes more acceptable. And here we introduced the Trumas Hadeshen as an, I think, a dramatic example of tampering with a Takonas Chazal, because the Takonas Chazal spoke about a risk. It's a risk to marry a Katlonis, and in the society in which the Trumas Hadeshen found himself, the risk of not marrying a Katlonis was so significant, or the benefit for marrying a Katonis was so obvious. One, Ein Lono Noshim. Two, what will be with the young women who find themselves in that position, they'll go out of Tal B'Sva. That it minimizes the risk. What does it mean, minimizes the risk? And that's where I want to tie it all together. It means Shem Absor Hashem. It means that life is risky, and without Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection, we don't survive. And consequently, what Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't take unnecessary risks, I'm not going to back you up. Don't count on me to help you out. But if I can turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, I'm on your side, I'm doing this because of this evaluation, it's a Tzorech HaTzibur, it's a Shei Mitzvah, etc., etc., then I still have a right to rely on Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection and Tainah Shom Epsor Meshem. This is also, I think, a point I want to make a coherent sort of a sheet they're running through. This is also what the Tiferes Yisrael meant, in which he put in mitzvah be'idno de'yosik be'aguni magni, to point out that when you have a tzad mitzvah shabo, the risk becomes less. So what I would evaluate as a risk shalo b'moka mitzvah, I'm willing to evaluate as another risk, b'moka mitzvah. Who decides the percentage points. That's where you have Baruch Hashem poskim who related such a concept and apply it in individual cases. And Yitzhak Hashem, before we finish today, I will cite you some individual cases to show how you apply this principle. This morning in Shir, we summed up the whole sugi of Menekes Chaveiro, which in Yitzhak Hashem, I believe I'll have occasion to discuss in detail with you in Yitzhak Hashem next month, where we deal with a risk to a baby, the risk to the baby being significant when the nourishment of the baby was highly dependent upon being nursed. In a tshuva, my Shirel Zatzal, the fact that by disregarding the danger that the mother's milk will not be available to the child, I introduce a notion that he'll have a father image or a father who'll take care of him and provide care and sustenance, even though indeed reducing the zman yinike is not good for the child, there are other benefits. So suddenly the risk of not nursing a child must be measured against the benefits of having a father in the house, because she has someone who wants to marry her now and will not wait 24 months to marry her. That becomes a factor. A factor in what? In changing a takana? Of course not. It becomes a factor in evaluating risk. Risk for what? There's only one risk that a baby faces. Hazal stepped in, Avin shel Yisomim, to try to protect the child in this tragedy when the father died. But there are other problems than being nursed. There are other cares that he needs. And when you evaluate the whole thing, the risk is not so significant. So she'll nurse him a few months less in return for benefits. A new gedda was introduced, which we'll elaborate on the end of the shiur. I introduced it in the very difficult Rambam, also based on the sugya of Menekes, in which the sugya says that she's supposed to avoid eating dvorim haroim, and the Rambam comes up with a notion that she is number one, and if she feels she has this sickness in her belly, on page 15, right, holy hatavo sheyesh lo bebitlo, and she wants to eat this junk food, this hazarai food, just too bad. Tsar gufo kodim. Here we had to modify the lush in the Rambam, which he never liked to do in the Rambam, since Baruch Hashem he was able to say what he wanted to say and doesn't need our help to say it. But nevertheless, he says, Tocha malachim aroim yomus havlad, doesn't mean that this is the case we're talking about. Because we know that even in the case of a grusha, where in a grusha she has no chiyuv lahanuk as bino. The next thing it says, if imakira, if the child doesn't want to nurse from anybody else, kofenosa, Bezin will compel her to nurse the child, even though she's not mechuyeves, and pay her a salary as a wet nurse. So Bezin doesn't just let her do what she wants. Here it means to say she's eating bad foods, and bad foods can kill the child, because we won't let her eat cocaine, heroin that'll addict the child to the milk. It means she's in that class, but she's not doing that. She's eating things that are not good for the child. It'll cause the child shilshul. The child will develop pimples on the face, eczema, and so on. She has her right to say, but I also have a life to live. Now here we have introduced this notion that you are not chil v'chas in case of pikuach nefesh, my life or your life, where it says chayecha kodmin. That's not what we're talking about. Where it's no big deal for you to give up eating chocolate. And it's no big deal for a child to get a few pimples. Right? There we're talking about chayecha kodmi, you come first. A mitzvah certainly it is to worry about somebody. Minik chassidus, as we'll see, Lashon comes in to worry about somebody else. But to say that you have an absolute shishtabdus to everybody in the world, including your own child, because this hanhoga is better for the child, I'm also there. Sets a very nice conceptual relationship between mother and child that cuts a little bit the apron strings or the martyrdom that Jewish mothers are supposed to be infamous for. The the rights of an individual are strongly protected in the halacha also. Which brings us to, and then I'm sorry, then finish up the point, then we moved into, really from that, to recreational activity, where I want to endanger myself for benefits to accrue to me. What benefits? Psychological benefits, emotional benefits. Go out hunting and it makes me feel better, I come back refreshed, I can learn better in the Smedlish after a hunting season where I go kill a few deer and so on. It takes away all the sense of aggression I have after dealing with the front office. These are very, very important values, right? Where the Nerdivude ticks off the many really significant halachas. Don't pull any Rachmanishtik or Tzar Balachayim. There's no Tzar Balachayim. The Tevis Adam, we have no Tzar Balachayim. Killing animals, there's no Isa Tzar Balachayim. Isa Baltashis. Again, the Tevis Adam, you have value from it, there's no Baltashis either. So don't, we're not going to hide behind cheap defenses why you must not do it. We'll give it to you straight. You mustn't do it because there's Pastish Rayid to do it. Because it's Maisa Esav and Maisa Nimrod. Right? Two, because it is endangering your life and the benefit does not warrant the risk. Go out to Mokum, Gedudi Chayas Ophos, Chayas Ros, you have a risk. More hunters get shot while hunting than when learning in the curl, and consequently, it's not mutter to do so because of the risk. And then next point, that is a physical risk. And then you have a theological risk, right? The theological risk is you enter the docket, right? You're ole legardum. You put yourself in Kadosh Baruch Hu's docket and you ask to be judged. Because when you enter a mokum sakone, you yell, Shomer Psoim Hashem. So they said, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to judge how big a pesi you are. Are you entitled to Shem of Sohem Hashem? And that's when he pulls out your file. And as an old rule, as anyone around the tax season knows, the less they look, the better. Or as they say, don't want them to look. Don't judge. Don't put yourself to judge. Because that's the time also why it's also to call in God's judgment on somebody. Right? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, you think it's time to judge? I'll judge you too at the same time. We'll take out two files. You're not motzi, you're not machnes atzmecha ledin, except when Kadosh Baruch Hu decides. Don't hurry up the trial date. Alright? Which brings us to now to an extension of this concept of risk, where the risk-benefit ratio is now really a value where you're playing for keeps, where the risk is to your life and the benefit is to your life. Now, I want to make sure we husband the time properly, but I have to finish the big sis I want to go through relatively quickly. But the biggest part of the sugya yet is risk to my life and benefit to your life, which needs a hezbo bezman hazeh. All right? Now, what's the risk to my life and benefit to my life? Here we introduce already quickly on page 23, the Shal Shuvas Achiezer, right? Where the Achiezer, in very, very broad strokes, says bluntly, if the risk to life is absolute, vadayomus, then the risk you can take to try to save your life is absolute, whatever risk it is. That seems to be the sheet of the Achiezer. The shaila is halacha l'maaseh. What risk can I take to save my life when the odds are against my actions being successful? My inaction may indeed not offer any alternative but to a fatal outcome, but with a lapse of time. And since life is of infinite worth, the peace of infinity is also infinity. So a person stays alive another few weeks. That's the shayla. Can you go for broke? Okay? The Achiezer says it simply. Hecha, the Efshe, she is Rappe, Af, Biof, and Rochok, you have it in Vov. I have a, I think I have a, some simen along it, okay, along the margin, I made a simen, okay? Kol Shel Yisashim Mirefuoso, as long as there is no hope for him to be cured, B'derech HaTeva, I mean, I do it by inaction, then you can take even a wild, make a wild attempt, because the Chai Yisho Lo Chashim. Okay? On this, my Shver has this tshuva, a very lengthy tshuva, easy to put together in klolim. That's why I gave it to you from this presentation, because in that presentation my son-in-law of Shapsa Rappaport prepared it for publication, so made it already with Kamina Geras Yisrael, with subtopics and little notations or footnotes and so on, which if you notice in the last Suikas Moshe, you have that done to the long tshuvas, which chopped up and stuff. And my Shver saw the first one, Chelek Shishi, and took a look at it and asked who wrote these tshuvas, who was the author. Also schreibt man nicht, the thing. But he was very pleased that it was done. He said, it's embarrassed to think that he wrote it, but it's the same words, but who does it? They take a tshuva. A tshuva is supposed to be read like Aseres Bnei Haman. Beneshima achas, you take a long breath, no punctuations, no commas, no periods. And the only concession we made to him in the last two svarim was that he insisted, although we changed the words to Hebrew words like mechonit instead of machine, and nituach instead of operation, he insisted in parenthesis we say it the way it's supposed to be said, machine and operation, so people will know what you're talking about, he said.
This morning, lawyer alimony.
Alimony, you had this morning at Shuva, right? Spelling out alimony. Okay. All right, what do we have here? We have here a number of important klolim, and actually in that little sikum, the sikumi hadvorim that the Maharam Shapsa put together, says much of the important things. Number one, that Chayisho means anything up to a year. Okay? And we'll come to it in a minute. Number two, that Chayisho, that's on page 24. That on Chayisho, there's a concept of risk, which has to fit the individual. And you're not compelled to follow up Pesak Din in those inyanim. If you think that Chayisho ain't worth it to you, you want to go for broke, it's Rishus B'yotcha. But no one can therefore hold you at fault if you say, no, I don't want. Even though the outcome is Vadai, Vadai Chetul, that's what I call Mabad Asmal Da. Say, I don't want the risk. I don't want to go up on an operation tomorrow where I know there's a possibility I won't come down from the operation tomorrow. I know if I don't do anything, the doctor said a few months I have to live, you know. I say, Shaitain, you have a chance to live 120 years. It's Bizunda time to go if the operation will succeed, but give me odds. The odds are not so good. There is a point here of personal preference in this halacha. As we'll see in the Hatzal Acherim, the same thing comes in. Not everything is din, something is rishus. And here you have an area of rishus also. next point, a key question, is what to do with a case in which the risk is not for the same coin of benefit. The risk is for life, and the benefit you gain will not be life, because that you'd have without it. If a heart patient would lie in bed, get out of bed only to go to the bathroom, and spend the next 20 years in bed, he'll survive. If he wants to walk around outside, take a walk in the woods, and hear the birds sing, and so on, for that he needs a bypass operation. in the beginning, when the shaylos were being asked, bypass operation had a 50-50 chance. So he said to him, don't you dare take a risk, lie in bed. He said, but that's no chayim. There's the issue of quality of life. Can I sacrifice, can I run the risk of sacrificing my life in order to gain a new quality of life, a better quality of life? These are the shaylos that ma'asim b'chol yom. A fellow on dialysis with a weak heart can be on dialysis nowadays for 7, 8, 10 years even. But he's psychologically, now he is climbing the walls because he's tied to that monster 8 hours a night, 3 nights a week, and there's a kind of a psychosis that sets in, true psychosis, where people were willing to give up their lives and not go on that machine. Even though they don't suffer pain or anything, it's a strange reaction, well reported in literature. Right? Give him a kidney, and he's a mensch, a dollar mensch guy. But to get a kidney, he has a weak heart. You've got to put him under surgery. The doctor says a poor surgical risk. He says, Lama li chayim, I want to take the risk. Can you do so? To change a chayi tzar into a chayim below tzar, but not as the risk was discussed in Avodah Zarah, where chayi shor is being sacrificed for chayi olam. But chayi shor is being sacrificed not for chayi olam that you have anyway, for a better quality of chayi olam. Okay? If we can, just follow me along. In the tshuva, I'll just underscore a few things here for you. And first of all, on Kuf Lamed Beis, it's the last tshuva that I attached. On Omid Kuf Lamed Beis, here the Shver reaffirms that his personal opinion is that risk for which you're allowed to undergo procedure which has a potential for fatality is when the potential fatality is no greater than 50%. But if the potential for fatality is greater than 50%, he personally holds that that's an unacceptable risk. Or to use... Yes, that is right. Why? It's a chilik between Sheval Tase and Kumba Sein Ritzicha. Okay? However, he says, since the Achiezer I'll just refer you to look at bottom Kuf Lamed Gimel, just so you can make a few remarks that you'll probably do Hashem yourself later. Right? V'efshe derak b'chai, the last line of the page. Rak b'chai gavne matirin v'lo k'she'ino sofik ha-shokul. Only when sofik ha-shokul, but not sofik ha-shokul, not. Nevertheless, he says someplace, yes, on Kuf Lamed Daled, last paragraph, Kivun Nachiyah, Kalponim Ledina, Kivun Nachiyah Zamata Apakor of Yosu Lemisa, Miyocha Limchoz Mishirot Zalis Mocholo Velasos HaNituach. Who can stop anyone from making it? But I certainly wouldn't encourage anyone to make it. Okay? Then Agdoras, Chayisho, he has a very important klal there too. It's important only if you deal with the shaylas halacha lemaaseh. We don't have the classic example that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah has. If you go to the doctor, there's a 50-50 chance he'll kill you. If you don't go to the doctor, there's a 100% chance he'll die. If the doctor succeeds, then you'll be like everybody else. What if it's not so? What if the doctor succeeds, the best you'll be, you know, in the early days of cardiac open heart surgery, where the mortality rate were 50, 60, 70%. That's when all the shaylos were asked. Now, Baruch Hashem, things have changed. We do multiple bypass surgery on patients. I'm sure there's hardly anyone here who doesn't know someone who's had a bypass operation. And it's rare that you hear someone die from a bypass operation. NYU reported their results last year. It's like 0.3% mortality. Really become very safe. It's hard to imagine why it should be so safe that what they do to a man is mamish indecent. Cut open his chest and pull out the heart and cut out vessels, put in vessels. But Baruch Hashem, Baruch is Marachim, and most people survive that kind of surgery nowadays. And then what? So you see, you know the cases. The guy's playing tennis. He's jogging, very nice. That ain't the way it always is. And after that, some, you got to take digitalis, and he has to make sure that he doesn't lift anything. Simchas Torah, he can't carry the Sefer Torah. Someone gives him a coffee, you have to carry the Sefer Torah for him. He's a Nishkin Mensch, Medala Mensch in life. It doesn't work that way. You cannot erase the ravages of time so simply, even by a quadruple bypass surgery. Is that also considered worth the risk? And that's what the Shel lays down here. It's nonsense. Of course, when you measure the risk of surgery, you don't establish some kind of a utopic standard. He must come back, a 70-year-old man undergoes bypass surgery, now must behave like a 21-year-old. And so obviously he has to behave like a man who underwent surgery, who had a heart disease for many years, he has to take pills, etc. That's also called chayyola. It is not undoing the whole illness, it is undoing the risk of the illness. That's the point. The risk of the illness was that the illness reached a stage which is killing him. I back off the risk and I left with an illness which is not killing him. But it doesn't mean he has to be a bori. He says it's only because you find in the later achayinim, they want to tie it that way, that the head of chay shor lo chashino is only where you end up with a chayola, meaning big benefit. So that's why the risk-benefit ratio, if the benefit is very high, we only take the little risk. Who says that benefit must be that high? The benefit is that you don't die, you're showing enough of a benefit, even though he remains a chola kol yomov. A number of things, but one thing on Kufla Mitches, where it didn't come out clear, I had scribbled something on the side and on the safe for many when the first safe first came out. I'll just tell you what I wrote there so you'll see what my problem is in accepting this analysis of the Shver, this point in the analysis. I said from the Gemara, Avodah Zarah Yudches, the Maaseh of Rav Chanina, the Mutar Lekarei Misoso Al Yedei Hasoras Moneah, it's a raya that the Chayi that we're talking about, Chayi Shor, has to be a Chayi Shor that's bearable. The issue is the case I mentioned to you, where a doctor says you can survive, but you can't get out of bed. If you can't get out of bed, I'll treat you pharmacologically. If you want to get out of bed, you must undergo this dangerous nituach. Does he have a right to do so or not? Does he have a right, the karev misoso, in order to have an advantage, which I refer to as an advantage psyche, a psychological advantage, not a physiological advantage. It's just a better quality of life. See, from the Raya, from Rabbeinu ben Chadion, you see that a chayim tzar, by case of tzar, you muto lekare misoso al de asoras moneya. So certainly, you are not mechuyev to extend your life in order to make it into a chayim tzar. And consequently, that factor has to be taken into account too. If Rabbeinu Matanya says, it is mutter not only not to prolong your life, but you're allowed to be meisir amoneya to your life, to preserving your life, removing the wads of wool that were preserving his life, in order to avoid a chayitza. So you mutter, in other words, the kari misoso aldea solos moneya. And certainly you see from here that a life which is pain-racked, or pain pills, that is not considered to be an acceptable kind of life. And mainly when I say, but I can keep you in bed, and then you'll have to suffer what is to you a totally unacceptable quality of life, it is not fair to say you must do so. Because, you see, that is not considered to be a chayim. That was considered to be a chayim tzar. This is a chayim. Well, certainly we cannot go ahead and be maimis, be a dayim, someone who has a chayim tzar. You can't commit euthanasia. But you can see, you can commit the individual to a shortened life by refusal of treatment. And therefore, to include this concept of chayim tzar in the risk-benefit ratios becomes, I think, a necessary thing in halacha. So now if a person would say, if I undertake the surgery, I increase the risk to early death. If I don't undertake the surgery, I give myself a life that's totally unacceptable. It's not such a davar poshut that he must accept the lifestyle of chayei tzar. That's the only, I want to make a halacha that me a davar poshut, that it's not true. And when you add to it a point of cosmetic surgery, that's some place I mentioned to you, how the Gedolim reacted to cosmetic surgery, including my Shver, who was matter cosmetic surgery, if the girl, usually was shadowed by a girl, really was suffering much psychological anguish, she wasn't successful in Shidduchim, because she really had a nose that was particularly unpleasant. And even though there is risk, every surgery there is risk, for avoid the psychic tsar of a long nose, it's mutter to undertake the risk of surgery. That has to be put together in this whole cheshbon. You want to say something?
Yeah, the tsar that you mentioned by the K is psychological tsar, but Kanira Tragin was a physical tsar.
Yeah.
How do you compare the two?
Why not? I don't know of any distinction. All tzar is psychological. They take the same tzar to two people. One says it's tzar, one says it's not tzar. I have in my notes a case that I was involved in. I got involved in with the evidence. I was making rounds in Kingsbrook with Dr. Corman, and asked me in to see a patient who was on a drug that we were using. And a man with melanoma, obviously a fumigid, lying with a yarmulke and writhing in pain. Melanoma is one of the really horrendous ways to die. And he had all kinds of tubes going into him. I came in and said hello to him, wish him a foolish shalem, and he motioned to me. And if someone had tapped me on the shoulder and said, what's he going to tell you? I had it said to me before, tell the doctors to stop mooching me, I want to die. Instead, I lean over, this fellow says to me, my granddaughter is pregnant. Be mispalel, I should stay alive until she gives birth. It's a special schus to have a great grandchild. The same tzar everyone else had. For him, it was no tzar. Tzar is a psychological reaction. How you react to tzar, I can measure it physiologically by firing of nerves. What it says to you, here's a man who is willing to live chay tzar another few weeks. He should have the theological schus of having lived to have a great grandchild. Alright. Let me leave this, because simply not because I'm really finished with it, because we're not going to get done what I have to get done. And that is to move to the next topic, which is a devastating topic. But before that, maybe I would do better if I mentioned to you in this risk to oneself, just a few little things, just to get a little bit of proselytizing done on one thing, and other just an interesting one. Here's a shayla, a fresh shayla. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you daven well in the morning. Kadosh Baruch Hu even applies the principle of Shomer Psorim Hashem for Rosh Hashivas too. In December 16th, 1986, I scribbled a note to Dr. Ira Greifer, was head of pediatrics Albert Einstein, called up with a shayla. An Israeli couple in which the woman has 25% kidney function. She has what was obstructive kidney disease, which is different than another kind of kidney disease, which is the more common one where the filtering element, the glomeruli, eye, fall apart. She was pregnant once before and lost the baby. And after that, even initial pregnancy, some 3 or 4 months of pregnancy, her kidney function dropped significantly and never returned, so she's down to 25%. When it hits 17% kidney function, she must go on dialysis. All right? She will certainly go on dialysis within 5 years. That's the Derech HaTeva. This thing keeps on deteriorating slowly. She can't avoid dialysis. Her husband, who's a Gush Emunim Sfaradi boy who paid his price in this world, he fought in 3 wars and did his duty to God and country, and a fine Talmid Chacham, come to see me before I sent him to Greifer to ask the question. He said just very, very simply, he said, "I love my wife, but I must have a child." Like Rachel said to Yaakov, "Havali banim mayin leisem." What he implied, I don't know. He didn't say necessarily have to divorce her and take another wife, but he must have a child. Greifer had her evaluated by the Albert Einstein team, obstetricians and kidney men. Ira Greifer is head of the Kidney Foundation, the medical director of the Kidney Foundation of America. He has a lot of his own field, his pediatric kidney work. He has a lot of ideas in the field and has a lot of miyudoim in the field, a lot of colleagues who can help out. And they put it to me now, gives me back the report. We can let her get pregnant. If we let her get pregnant, she surely will abort the baby. There is no way the baby will survive more than 3 or 4 months, because with that kidney function, the amount of poisons that are circulating in her anyway will kill the baby. What we can do though is let her get pregnant and put her on dialysis 7 days a week. 8 hours, 7 days a week. To keep her kidney function so-called far better than it is right now. And that way the baby will survive. That's their estimate. When the baby will be born, and they won't let the baby be born naturally at 32 weeks, because at the end when the baby is making big demands on the mother, they can't cover it with dialysis either. They'll do a cesarean at 32 weeks of pregnancy, at which point she will need to remain on dialysis for the rest of her life, because the damage of that, with the dialysis and everything, the kidneys will have gotten covered. Okay? The Shaila was posed by a Talmid Chacham, by this husband. May my wife undertake it? Or is it also for her to undertake it? Yes, halacha l'maaseh is 6 days. What's today? Today's 18th, 2 days ago, Shaila. Didn't answer the Shaila yet, of course. This is the kind of Shaila, it's real Shaila. How will you approach such a Shaila? First Shaila is, how sick is she? Something I discussed with you way back, for not having a baby. How sick is infertility? That's Shaila number one. If she's really sick, if Rachel was right, hopefully Bon and I and Mesa know him, then poor Nefesh, she's got to do something. Then it's moved to take a big risk. Then comes Mitzius, and that's one of the big problems in this whole field. Regrettably, many people do paskin in the field. The halachas mustam and they can find, but don't have the background, the psychological set to understand the medical facts involved. And you get all kinds of nonsense being said to halacha lemaisa, unfortunately. How do you evaluate what's the life on dialysis? And post-dialysis means not dialysis. She won't stay on dialysis for the rest of her life. She has to undergo a kidney test. So I have now two risks. Risk of a cesarean section, that must be added. That's not normal either. Two, dialysis is not in dialysis. You put a pipe in and you clean out the blood, it's babamysis. Under dialysis, there's risk of a sudden heart attack. There's risk of severe anemia. There are all kinds of risks. Dialysis is not a free lunch. There are no free lunches in America. You pay a price for everything. After which, She's not going to stay on dialysis. It's not possible. A young woman, she's 24 years old. So what's going to be? She has to go on nituach. A what? Of a kidney transplant. After kidney transplant, you have rejection phenomena. Each time she has a rejection episode, her life is endangered, etc., etc. Once you want to handle such a shayla, first you have to put down on a big, long list, big, long sheet of paper, what are the risks that I'm going to deal with? And what's my benefit? Benefit always is just a little piece of paper. Right? Benefit, I have a baby. I have a husband. Maybe there's only two lines on a piece of paper, but maybe that deserves to be enlarged. That having a baby and having a husband may be a big benefit, even though it's only two against 20. One of the problems with some of the tshuvas you see written by the Gedolei Sfarad, especially Raja Yosef, the Shlita, where he likes to list all the tzadim lahakel and all the tzadim lahachmir. Trouble is that in the list he has 93 things listed, of which 91 are from Sfarim you never heard of, right? And on the other side, you have the Rambam and the Raivin and the Rashba and the Ritva. It's hard to count up benefits and risks of Maitilim and Maitilim without putting some kind of a special point system. How much is this benefit worth? How much is this risk worth? How much does this posting count? This one count.
First of all, if you said after 5 years you have to go on the office
anyway,
or right. Have a kidney transplant,
right.
What sort of quality of life did she live once she had kidney transplant?
Superb.
So, the far is just a question of.
Yeah, that's okay. Not going to pass the shayla for you. I want you to see what this is what you live with. Not here to pass the shayla. We're here to discuss halacha. Okay? Halacha ma'isa. We'll sweat it out. We'll see. A lot of things come in here. You got to meet them again. You got to talk to the people. This is. Only doctors can pass the shayla to a knefesh from looking at little pink slips. We have to look at the patient and the lifestyle of the patient. A lot of things come into the play. All right, one shayla. Now here, let me give you another. I mean, since before I move into risk for one, benefit for the other, give you an idea. Show you what goes on in the field. All right, this is from New England Journal of Medicine. A report November 27th, 1986. Okay, effects of postoperative mediastinal radiation on completely resected stage 2, stage 3 epidermoid cancer of the lung. Got it? Okay, only got that clear? Fine. What's the key point? A report that pulmonary surgeons will be interested in. What it says is in simple English. We conclude, the New England Journal of Medicine, unlike the Rosh Hashivas, does always say, Nuvosa Meruv Giton. Right? Gives a summary. What do we say? It says, you don't have to read the whole article, just to read the beginning. We conclude that radiotherapy can reduce local recurrence after resection of epidermoid cancer of the lung, but does not increase survival rate. They showed that people who have cancer of the lung, they took out the lung, they irradiate. The radiation makes the person sick, he loses hair, and he vomits, etc. It's his chayim, is no chayim. But he saved his life. He shows shekhev achazav. He dies the exact same day he would die anyway. What he saved himself is, whereas if you don't get radiated, the cancer you cut out will come back locally, local recurrence. And then you may have to undergo a second surgery simply for comfort, for palliation. If you radiate, you don't have to do that. But what kills you is not the cancer bimcomo, what kills you is the cancer that's already spread before surgery. Because lung, unfortunately, lung and colon, since there is room in the lung for things to grow, without it being noticed quickly, by the time we discover, it's already too late to do anything about it, it's already metastasized. That's why lung cancer has such horrendous outcome, and that's why it's mumbish. We'll see who'll come in a minute on smoking, which I'm getting to. There's no way to understand why people are still smoking, although I think you all recognize that people are not still smoking. I keep my eyes open. I was a chassan two nights ago. One person, Rosh Hashiva, was the only one who was smoking. On the whole, there were a minimum of 500 people, only one person was smoking. It's a shame. And you remember the days, I'm sure, when every table had a little urn of cigarettes. It wouldn't. It wouldn't look past. It would be a cheapskate if you did not offer cigarettes on the table.
Imagine.
See, it is possible even for Olam Goylam to sometimes learn something. Okay? What does it say? Let's see, halacha l'maaseh. This becomes a shayla l'halacha now. Should a person undergo radiation treatment after lung cancer? Now, who you're a rov? You're not a doctor. What are they asking you? I'll give you the facts, though. Now you're a rov. Now you have to paskin. Radiation has dangers to it. Serious dangers. It has an advantage. I may avoid a need for local surgery. I'm not talking about Chai Shah anymore versus Chai Olam. There's no Chai Olam to talk about. We're now evaluating local surgery versus the risk and discomfiture of radiation. Not the double push. Who's going to decide? Who's not the patient? What? But here now you have new fact. This fact was not known 2-3 weeks before this was published. Or maybe not true, maybe 6 months before this was read at a conference from which the publication, after which the publication followed. The halachas change? Of course not. Halachas don't change. Mitzi, a doctor said radiation makes you live longer. Check if a chazah. So 2 weeks ago, if a patient came to me and said, Rabbi, what should I do? Should I go to radiation? I said, you have a most problem. It's awesome for you not to go for radiation. It'll save your life. How can you not do something to save your life? Suddenly the facts are different. So the next patient also, no, you shouldn't do it. It won't save your life. It'll make you miserable. Local recurrence? What's the incense of local recurrence? Most people die before local recurrence. Well, now, I'm not so sure you should do it. Okay? That's the other one. Okay. This is just my pet peeve. This, I'm getting in from left field just to push it in. Long. Okay? Same thing's true for colon. There's not the time or place for it. Unfortunately, a few months ago, England had a summary of all treatment for all cancers and came to the same conclusion. That there was no increment of survival, only comfort and so on. They wanted to claim that all so-called survival of breast cancer and colon cancer and so on was only due to the fact that we detect earlier. So we start our count earlier. But actually, if we did not detect earlier, it would turn out that the survival, the exact same survival we've had for the last 30, 40 years. There's been no advantage to all the chemotherapy, all the radiation. The only thing that seems advantageous, early surgery, if you catch it, you catch it. If not, not. Changes the whole hasogis in this whole field. But that's, let's say, it's not for now. I will discuss something of critical importance. Okay? This is an older article, March 6, 1986, New England Journal of Medicine. Cholesterol-free non-dairy creamers, right, upon which the world depends, right? After a fish, your meal, God forbid you drink your coffee black, can't do that. All right, listen to this language, all right? They've evaluated all the stuff, and here, listen to this. Coconut oil, used in commonly creamers, is the highest of all dietary fats in its proportion of saturated fatty acids to unsaturated. Its ratio is 0.03 compared to lard. Where's this? Compared to lard of 0.45. 0.03 to 0.45, if you'll figure it out, you're dealing with a 15 times, if you use the language, coconut oil is 15 times worse for you than eating lard. Okay? Now, soybean oil is 5.26, which means from 0.03 to 5.26, right, you're dealing with 100 times or so, almost 200 times worse than soybean oil, etc. What's the point? All the dairy creamers,
all the non-dairy creamers of home have a high proportion of coconut oil in it, largely coconut oil. All the kosher cookies, pastries, kosher cookies, have only two oils in it. They're put in, since you have to put in the ingredients, they put in, it could contain a series of oils they're put in. But the oil that always contains, I'm sorry, I said pastries, I was back off in it, not pastries. The wrapper says, to cover them legally, all it has is, it says, palm oil, coconut oil. They didn't comment on palm oil. Palm oil is 6 times worse than coconut oil. Okay? I'll just tell you very simply. Halacha l'maaseh, I have no subject in my mind, is also to eat anything with coconut oil or palm oil. Lisa. There is nothing in our diet that approaches the Rambam's say from Adel, things that are mamish considered by all people with malazeh as dangerous to your health as eating pure fat. A cookie has 50% oil. If you eat a cookie, it's 50% coconut oil. 50% lard if it's a safe cookie, 50% palm oil if it's a palm oil. Okay? Palm oil, remember, is that oil that comes from Malaysia. We had that child, people aware of that one, that we found out that they use the same containers to ship waste, leaf fat waste, and they are cashing it, they use the palm oil in there, so tumor wood, or you finally agree to relate to the tumor, what they've done, I lost track of. But it comes and has to be heated in order to get it out of the hole, because it comes like tar, stuck solid, and that's a rule, you know. The hotter it is at room temperature, the more saturated it is. Therefore, beef fat lies there, butter there, oil is liquid, and chicken fat is lighter than beef fat. That indicates the ratio of saturated to unsaturated. Halacha l'maaseh is also to use these creamers for the belief suffering whatsoever. Why? There's risk without benefit. It's available without it. Okay? And that's the part of the halacha l'maaseh that comes from, if you focus in, halacha l'shmata is not shlechen, there must be, why are you going to tie to me? Doshu be'rabis. Nonsense. That's also too nonsense. Very few people use those creamers because the word got out there that it is high in calories. And people avoid using it. More people drink their coffee black than put in the whiteness. So I don't know if it's Doshu be'rabis. And now when the idea comes out, and this idea is not popularized, you don't find, not the New York Times picked it up, etc. Why? Because their advertisers are the ones that manufacture this stuff. They won't let a negative report like that come into the papers. In fact, there's now, they're redoing all the coffee studies, those studies that show that coffee induced heart disease. Someone came with a bright idea. It may not be the coffee. It's the creamer. It's the whitener in the coffee that's doing it. So that's when we do all the studies to find out whether people use the statistical studies, see whether people use creamers or not. Okay, I don't want to elaborate on this, but I'm going to go ahead. Please.
Having made this just the ramble about the negative, that's you're all right. The person who feels that he has to have coffee or creamer in it.
Oh, that's right. There. But you got to relate to it. That's it. Right. Right. There, where the woman is eating something which is safe to eat, stuff that a woman can eat, an adult can eat it, a child can't eat it. She has a time that don't deal with my dad, I'm talking about something that you shouldn't eat. Not so posh. Okay? It's just to show the wide ramifications of this sakana issue. Now, let me move to the next one. Yeah.
So everything
is dose related in halacha and in physiology. Called yeser kenotul domi, excess and deficiency, right? All move in the same direction. Everything too much is no good, right? Too sweet, too good, too. What are they saying? Many things was maybe in Yiddish was there. It's good, it's so good. Say as good kind. As I told my guten doctor, doesn't speak well for the other doctor. There is excess. Excess is no good. All right. Let me move now to what is one of the real big shailas. And that is, what about risk to me and benefit to somebody else? All right, here you have the Ritvazim that really do it. And let me pose it again in the light of a practical shaila. I'll give you just some idea. Here's something brand new that no one knows about. This is December 4th, 1986. Also New England, as many of you know, among my vices, in order to stay up to date, I read two magazines every week, the New England Journal of Medicine and Lancet, the British Journal. There. That's how I made myself a reputation. In my town, by the doctors, they come to ask me, not Shailas and Halachot, but I should please review for them what happened in New England Journal of Medicine this week, so that they will sound intelligent when another doctor talks to them. Needlestick transmission of human colonic adenocarcinoma. First time ever suspected. Unbelievable thing. Shows how rules do not follow, because Nizgala Teva, Shino Teva, which we'll discuss next month with you, Rich Sherman, La'alocha, what that means. You see that much of Nizgala Teva and Shino Teva is known as Amaratus before. And we finally know the facts now. A technician was working on human carcinoma. My own lab here, we play around with myself. We implant human cancer tissue into mice, then treat the mouse to see what effect various drug combinations has. And while handling the tumor, she stuck herself with a needle. And the carcinoma, or lung form, is regarded. And finally went to surgery, they took it out, discovered it was human adenocarcinoma of colon cells. There's no colon over here. And it proved for the first time that it's bubblemices to think that someone else's tissue cannot be transferred to you, because we reject foreign tissue, foreign normal tissue, not foreign cancer tissue. And it's possible to transmit cancer from patient to patient if the cell gets it. Major frightening breakthrough. That's not why I want to frighten you. Your daughter wants to be a lab technician. It's a good business for a Jewish girl nowadays. Must you tell her? But remember, you cannot work on cancer. You cannot work on AIDS. Okay, let's get the next case. I'll give you my next shaila. That's last month's shaila. Unbelievable, Shaila. Fellow graduate from Yeshiva is now one of the leading surgeons in America, head of the largest surgical facility in America, also the largest AIDS hospital in the world. 20% of all the surgical patients have AIDS. And because he also treats those patients who get into trouble in their AIDS, the progress of the AIDS disease, they have to have their spleens removed. This is a general surgeon. He personally does much of the surgery. And it turns out on his file, 20% of all his patients are patients with active AIDS. Several times a week, and he works 6-7 times a day nowadays, he cuts himself with his scalp. Why? We'll see in a minute. That's what surgeons do. They work fast. They work with assistance of many other people. So, shigigos in the oven, minasolos in the oven, stick your hand out, the nurse puts a scalpel in, you close your hand, you think you held it just right, didn't hold it just right, cuts through the glove, so you know, the nurse, he says he cut himself, the nurse puts on another glove, to maintain sterility for the patient's benefit. Well, what about him? I'll come to that in a minute. I'll give you the answer too, and we'll go ahead. His wife said to him, also a full woman, very good shaita, very intelligent woman, or else herself in the scientific field, says, I give you an alternative, either give up surgery or I leave you. met with him. He loves a husband, like another Hashem in every way, a gentle soul, a marvelous individual, a wonderful family, wonderful children, wealthy people with no problem, nothing to interfere with their happy life except this one thing, that she doesn't want to die from AIDS. She doesn't want her children to die. Therefore, she has enough money, stop what she's doing, so go to Shiva, start learning again. He says, when I see halacha, I'm a skilled surgeon. I can do the work. I'm set up to wash it. How could I turn my back on it? My first question to him was, your question, which you didn't ask, Shlomahulena, after all these years of being a surgeon, you still can't avoid cutting yourself. It's tough for a young surgeon. I mean, you don't know which end of the scalpel you're supposed to grab. What is it? And he explained to me, it's not true. There is a choreography in surgery, a ballet, with many actors, many dancers. And he works partly blind. He sticks his hand out, the nurse slaps something into his hand, and the metzigas is so, and he has his fingers in there, and a young resident is working with him, and the resident leaves. And so on and so forth. That's the metzigas. I'm not a shlomaz, a good surgeon, but that's what happens. That part of it is the surgery. Alright. I did my homework, went to the library, and I found that there's a report, 8,000 cases who cut themselves or stuck themselves while working on active AIDS patients. Nurses, healthcare workers, doctors, technicians, physiotherapists, etc. While working with patients, dealing with their body fluids, they injured their skin, they broke their skin. In one case, there was what's known as zero conversion, where you found antibodies in the blood indicating that the infection had started. In other cases, not a single case had zero conversion. That's a study that covered 4 years of accidents. 4 years post-accident. Trouble is that a new evidence shows that incubation period for AIDS may be 8 years. But zero conversion, the appearance of antibodies in the blood, according to the best evidence we have, should occur in 12 weeks. So that's now talk risk-benefit. Risk must be very low. In other words, in that one case where they found that someone, a lab technician, stuck himself on handling blood of an AIDS patient, careful investigation turned out that he earned his AIDS the usual way. So they were really convinced that there is no real big danger. There could be some danger. It's 8 years, right? But again, we have the 12-week evidence. Maybe we're a little bit wrong. Maybe so. Not every kind of case. There are three AIDS viruses now. You can make strikes, but you must put it all together with a statement. Risk is low. Risk to the patient who has AIDS, who needs a splenectomy, he'll die unless he gets a spleen removed, is high. Unfortunately, even if you do it, you're not going to cure this man. But you can prolong his life, make his life more comfortable. Now comes the next point. Show how you apply halacha l'maaseh. I ask this doctor, tell me, why must you work so fast that you work blind? Why can't you reach over and take the scalpel yourself? Get rid of the nurse. Save yourself money. He says, well, it'll take another 10, 20 minutes of surgery then. Now we're talking something. Now we're talking about, once I've established I'm going to help you, I'm going to take a little bit of risk for your big risk. Now I'm going to ask the next question. Must I take a bigger risk to avoid you a little risk increment? If I work slower, you'll be on anesthesia longer. The risk to you will increase, the risk to surgery will increase. But if I work slower, the risk to me decreases. There's less likelihood I'll cut myself. There's likelihood I'll make an error. An error that will cause me problems. Now you have to ask yourself, my causes are done with a high sum of three. How much risk must I take for this man? So he came to a Kesha. I said to him, Mishka Lishan, want to think about it some more yet, but I think of a push it. And surgery, you have to continue doing it. But you have to have two kinds of surgery. Two ballets. A ballet dancer should know how to dance fast and dance slow. Sometimes you dance fast when you're dealing with a normal patient. When you're dealing with a patient, you dance slow. Everybody slows it down. You move it a little slow. You know the patients don't die if surgery would take another 20 minutes. We have the ability to keep people anesthesia comfortably and safely for a little bit longer nowadays. Here we say minimize the risk to yourself, even though you slightly maximize the risk to someone else. Of course, hiatal. And that comes, that introduces the shayla that we're up to now, and that is, to what extent am I mechuyev to assume any risk for your benefits? And here you have the midbatim that do the really the yeoman's work. After he says little much to say, except for showing point out in the colors. It's on page 17. Right? And if you see the right, just quickly. The tshuva, bottom of column 1. Alright? Masha kosev harav zal kol hayochal ahatzil vein amatzil lizover am mosam adam reecho ayrav vish yochal ahatzil lehedje velo she yistakin hamatzil klal kanchar yoshin tachas kosel v'ua. He's a fellow with walls collapsing on him and you wake him up to get him out, you don't endanger your life. Davo, but so they shall yochal ahiro v'shnasu lo hiro or kanchar yodei lo eidush tachatzil avar al osam adam reecho. El afila yesh bo ketzat sofik sakona. Kan ro so tovei abiyam, or listen bo molo. Yesh chalei lo sofik sakona, te loch achayv lahatzil, afila shlohoi yochol lahatzil de gufo, or nifta vishol kach, el achayv lahatzil be mamon, I have to hire someone to save. I think I know somebody can be saved, I gotta spend money in order to save. Lo zugu vaad, the bori hezeka, afila shoma yakum, he heard sofik hezeka, he's also mechuyiv to help out. That's part of Osama Adam Reyach. Here, just quickly to refresh your memory, there were three psukim in Hatzolat Chavelo. Right? Kapo Yerape, Hashevosolo, and Osama. Three psukim talk of three separate things. That's the tallest people make the lump of prayer. So the Rambam has all three. They talk about three separate things. But Kapo Yerape has to do with two theological concerns. It has nothing to do with this world. It has to do with Olam Habo. It has to do with Kodesh Baruch. Rapi has to do with Namikan Shinita Rushus Lorofi Larapos, meaning that you're not anti-God. God says, Ani Omis Vachia. Machatzi Vaniyapo. What the heck are you doing here? Who asked you to mix it? Come, Father Prophet says, Rapi Rapi, I tell you to mix it. You are not in theological error by trying to save somebody. So what good will it do if Father Prophet wants him to die? You're not going to make him well. No, that's a derech hateva. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes him sick, and you make him well. No different, as the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam writes in Hamasbik Lodei Hashem, no different than a poor man who needs money, God made him poor, comes to you, you have made the trouble, you give him money, not opposing God's will. Second, in Rabbi Rabbi is, Shalotoma Mali Lesorzu, the word Shivete, as explains, the Rambam said, I'll make a mistake, Hamas Chayat Benavshi, who should be rushing on to medicine. It's a high risk. They sue you, you have to pay money, the helmet server. God will sue you. And the Kedushin says, Tov Sheva Rofim Legehenen. Why does Rashi say it? Because they don't do a good job, they goof on something. They don't pay attention to the patient, they miss something they shouldn't. Yes, they go to Gehenna for it. Rofei Shetor is Gola. No heter, after all, the good Samaritan law, I meant to do good. So, that's what we talk in. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's where you go. Alright? That's why Tosha Barofim Legehenna meant. Good intentions. For good intentions, you go to hell. You win, or else you lose. There's no such thing as you get an A for effort in this business. Sumali Latsorzu, Nema Varapo Yerape, Mitzvahi. Too bad. God said, risk your soul too. That's Rabu Yirabe. Then comes the next person. Hashivosolo is Alochir. that you have to undertake the tirchir to return something to it. You cannot let someone else do it. That has to do with Adam Achavero, and you owe it to him. Nothing to do with the theological consequence of what you do. So that's what some are doing. Some Amalekha says, Iguri Ogir. You must spend money to do it. I say, yeah, for nothing I'll do it. Without risk I'll do it. Comes to some Amalekha and says, Mechuyev you have to spend money, Mechuyev you have to take risk. Now the shaila is how much risk? That's why you have three psukim. Each one says something else. Nu, what, how much risk? That's the shaila. Therefore it includes the what? Aval in my suffix, eno mucha, el note el ha tola, who lo yustakin, lo hitu ova lo samot. But what? Eno chayin lahachmas asma the suffix sakona mishul mamono, aval hatil nefesh chavero, or shoyobo ala elva, afil mokum dika suffix sakona chayin lahatil. What it doesn't do is give you risk-benefit ratios. How much sakona to you for benefit? Sakona to you for benefit to you, we have here an achiyed on the test. Any amount of risk. Right? Shver holds that the Chatzila in Swali says it's a Sophic Ashok. What about here? That's for somebody else, for me. Or for somebody else. Here he doesn't say it. He just says it has to be Mukhra. The Nayan, one member of Tov Reish Ayin. Wait, you have to weigh it, right? You have to weigh the risk. But how much? How do you weigh it? For how much? Look at the next advice. He begins to spell it out on page 18. And he gives a wild case where you can save a man's life by cutting off a limb, your limb, to save his life. Not to amputate a man's limb to save his life, amputate your limb to save some of your friend's life. I implore you to do so. Shuba, look at the last line. Zul, midas chasidus. Unbelievable thing. Because there's a theoretical case is given here that it will not endanger your life. How they even can imagine such a thing in those days in pre-aseptic surgery, so on. That's the case. If your life will not be endangered. Test the neighbor on. Zul midas chasidus to give a limb to save a life. Avol, he says. Compared to Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, we find that Hilchos Shabbos is not nitcheh b'pnei sakana seiva. Mishum sakana seiva, I can only do an issur d'rabbana. I can't do an issur d'rabbana. Right? Do people remember? There are four categories of refuah b'shabbos. If you'll see the next Beis Yitzchak carrying through, there are five categories. Alright? There really are five categories based upon the subas that we learned this morning. They were very beneficial pedic. A lot of good things came out of it. You have Polish Ainbo Sakona, you have Polish Ainbo Sakona, Cheslon Eva going from top down, Polish Ainbo Sakona, Bitar, Polish Ainbo Sakona, Belita, and then Mefush Beyam. Tzar comes in, I'll show you, see, Allah Allah Maisit, with Tzar you can do a Rabbonon Riyadayim, Matis Musa Sudi. Don't understand, it's like the what the Bechava Pasin, Shinchot has, Hey, Paskins, Bobby Paskins, that you cannot be over on Nisha the Rabbon and be a die for Holy Shape of Sakoni, only on the Rakhman is with him. And then Simon, of Tess, the youth says, sees him down, he says, but Matthias Musa is Mutta, why? Mokum Sala goes to Rabbon, even if you don't love him, be a die. See him there, but no one even ever picked it up. In all the secondary soil, right? You see that a lot. Polish Ingo Sakon, if there's a constant pain, child, no matter even the Isidore Rabbanon, that good is said, but told yourself, Vasos of the Yakum, Im Hefsha. And Hanam, Im Hefsha, right? Rim Lo Hefsha is Mutu the Rabbon. It's Mutu to do an Isidore Rabbanon be a diet. The Isidore Daraisidore, we don't allow for Chesonator. But because nefesh, we allow for chesoneva. We allow isur d'raisa for pikuach nefesh. So you see the what? That pikuach nefesh is the shabbos. Chesed Neiva, not doing for Shabbos. He makes a Kal V'Chomer. Not the Chesed Neiva, which is not Pekuach Nefesh, which is not Pekuach Nefesh. So where I can give over a Chesed Neiva for Pekuach Nefesh, certainly Pekuach Nefesh should be doing for Chesed Neiva. Very wonderful should be. So the Chibad, that's very nice. It's true, Pekuach Nefesh should be Chesed Neiva, my Pekuach Nefesh and my Chesed Neiva. You want to compare those two, fine. Because my Chesed Neiva, your Pekuach Nefesh is both of my sins. So he says, so why don't you compare? He says, first of all, he says, this is low greed. Look at the top of the upper. Su dilma de pichaseva. I'm tired of the second line. The day Shabbos, he says, shkei onus also mishmaya. I can start up with Hilchah Shabbos. It's all ganz fine. He says the pich ain't sakana seva during the Shabbos. Avol sheyavi hu haonus all of them lechaveru lo shemana. The su the leka de dilma de pichaseva. There will be sakone, but skip that. The su, get down about a third down the paragraph. Su, I don't should be di kalachayma. You want me a kalachayma? You want me to cut off my arm to save him? The kalachayma, the milchah shabbos. The kalachayma, and then onshim min adin, he said. If you onshim min adin, you don't cut off any evolving when the kalachayma leaves. It's an interesting, why almost a wise fact. The su, he says, they onshim min adin, the kalachayma. Ein lachonish godu mizeh shat omer, that because of a kalachayma, Yaptot Eva Megavolam, we didn't have a homer. Okay, now come to this. Then it comes here. Jump down to four or five lines at the end of the paragraph. The Sue. The Sieve, the Bachar, the Achinoah. The Tzor, the Mishpote, the Vasenu, you, Maskimen, the Vaseto, Hasvora. The Yala, the Atenu, she in Eich, or the Mesame, is Eno, or Lato, Hesiodo, or Aglo, Kedeshali, and Miso, Staverum. Yeah, that's not what people also do by that. Unbelievable test of good halakhic judgment. It doesn't make sense. Go out the street and stop 10 people asking, does it make sense to tell I should cut off my arm to save another man's life? It just doesn't make sense to people. And there's a mitzvah, as I always said, mitzvah number 614, which is a mitzvah called Elis. The Omru Akam Chochom V'Novon Hagoy HaGadol HaZeh. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. That's real pshat. Al tol mal davar she'efshe l'shmoa she'sofu l'shomeya. It's heftiglish. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit well with us. Unbelievable thing. And that's a shayla halacha. Maybe yes. I'm going to do. And he ends up as mitzvah to the citizen. He's sacrificed away. Mitzvah seems a good thing. But you can't be mechayev a man to do that. It just doesn't make sense. Because if that were the case, take him out of here. I don't know why he meant it. I mean, what basically he meant to approach? Approach this thing, bismanazeh, how would you do it? I mean, I can force you to give a kidney to every patient who needs a kidney. I can force you to give one cornea to every patient who's blind. That's what I mean. I can take everyone who has two corneas, say, two, that's fair. It's a real communistic country. You got to share with them. And that doesn't sit well to say such. Doesn't make sense. Nevertheless, listen carefully. Hilkoch ani ro'eni ro'et ham lodin zeh. Ela midas chasidus v'ashrei chelko mi sheyuchal lamo v'zeh. But if yesh sofik sakonis defoshos, which in Mitzvahs of course is, harei zeh chosid shote, nisveko didei odif mi vadai dechaveiro. Suddenly, when he said sofik amukha became a chosid shote, here we have, that's what I gave you, if you'll take a look before we go to the next one. Here we have it here. Look in the, I gave you, I think, it's like a little further away, the Choshe Mishpat, was it before us, the site before. The Choshe Mishpat, the Pisri Tshuva brings down the famous Machlokes of the Bavli Yerushalmi. Should be here someplace, though. Where did he have? What page is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Oh, at the end, on page 34. Right. There you have the Pesach Shuvah. I guess I was able to get it to you. I'll give you another 10 pages. brings down brings down the Machlokes, brings down the smak, and Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, when he mechuyev lahachmas atzmo v'sofik sakana, he lahachmas haberam ilahe sakana, which shows Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, Bavli says it's also, and Yerushalmi says it's reshus. That's why he quotes Yerushmidah Tzidus, Yerushalmi puts in, the Yerushalmi is Midah Tzidus, with the Bavli is also to do so. In a risk to me and benefit to you, we have an entirely different book. And here, I guess I can sum it up for you, is giving you, mitzius. There's a risk in giving blood. What's the risk? The nurse may push the needle all the way in, get lost. There are cases, theoretical cases, I can make up how a blood donation should cause you a risk. A blood clot will form, the clot will move up the bloodstream into the heart. It's a shasha rechoka. Vadai, it's a chiyuv on a person to give blood to save someone else. Close up. How about bone marrow? Bone marrow on the mycere. That put the man under anesthesia. Anesthesia, I mentioned to you, is 1 in 7,000 people died last year from anesthesia. I got risked lately.
What's the risk?
1 in 7,000,
what's the risk?
Remember the statistics I told you already, it's 12 statistics? You're the one that's always 100%. Right? 1 in 7,000 by in. Okay. Therefore, are you mechuyev to give bone marrow to save some money? But I'm not according to the problem. But you shall be mechuyev. Do you have reshus to give bone marrow? Certainly. We see this, no doubt. How about a kidney? Now you're playing with bigger risk. Better than just skip kidney. How about a heart? A liver? Vadayos, right?
And I name is Asmucha. Your son, your wife, your father, your rebbe is also right to give your life to anybody else. Not your life to give away.
How about a kidney? Kidney got asked. At risk of anesthesia, risk of surgery, post-surgically, and now the evidence shows that all people who donated kidneys ultimately suffer from hypertension. And they all develop high blood pressure. High blood pressure already sucking, another level of sucking.
Where would you measure, where would you evaluate that risk of giving a kidney? Into the level of chassid shoyter as also, spiritual nefesh, or is it still in that risk of a lifeguard jumping into
an ocean to save a fellow where there are no sharks and there is no great storm, but it happens that lifeguards get drowned while trying to save somebody else too. Misvara, we have no good guidelines for this. Misvara, I would say that kidney donations is vadai also bismanazeh for that reason. Why? I have to add to this a fact. Because the statistics show that cadaver kidneys, which are plentiful, give a survival that's about 6 percentage points worse than a live donor kidney, a live donor relative's kidney from a relative. For that little increment, it's like the fast surgery of the AIDS surgeon, and not machuya, for that little increment to undergo a risk when I have nothing wrong with me. I have to take a total risk to give this patient a little bit of additional benefit. The kidney will survive a little bit better because it's from a close relative. There's no hazard to do so. What if, however, there's no kidney available? There are plenty of kidneys available, but there's only one individual. Must match this individual well. For this individual, if it is not matching up, then you fall into this question. Is it chosid shota sakone? Or is it a level of sakone that midas chasidus you must have to take? Misvar, I would say, is still at that level. There's a risk for surgery, anesthesia. 5% of people who gave kidneys, it's 5% already, died of surgical or post-surgical complications. It's 5% versus 100%. I would say it still falls in the category of zumidas, hatidas, that you have to shoot. Keep the use of other. Okay? Yeah.
Where would a category of volunteering to be, like, firemen?
Right? Okay. Right now, that goes very back to the first encounter we had. planetary societal approval for certain risky operations, digging tunnels, fire leshers, lifeguards, etc., whose society decided that these people will do our best to minimize the risk. We will train them, we'll give them special equipment, right? We'll make it more likely that they will succeed in their risky mission. But we put a stamp of approval. On the contrary, we add even a note of kavod to these people. These are the chabadim for doing this. You cannot say that it's us.
Sure.
100%. 100%. And I want you to know, I had the shaila many years ago, many years ago, 1957. I remember I got my doctor that year. We changed, Rabbi Sanders changed the apartment. It was over in Atlantic City. And before the yeshiva gave raises, we only could afford to go on vacation. Changed the apartment summertime with another love for what to come to New York to meet his parents or something. And we went to Atlantic City before it was worthwhile going there. There was a period of time, 4 or 5 days, when they flew the black flags. It was also to go into the water. I remember then Rabbi Sanders posed that shaila, what would you do if some idiot decided to go out? And there's a lifeguard who stands there guarding him. He did go out. He ran out and went into the ocean, and the ocean is stormy. You're not supposed to go out in the ocean like this. It's hard for an individual himself to swim in such an ocean. That's why they posed the black flag. And he did get into trouble like this. Is the lifeguard mechuyav to go out and get him? I answered then, glad I not, 100% not. He'd be a chotzer shot if he did. Any situation in which you yourself would have real difficulty getting back safe, just go ahead and undertake, try to get back with a struggling second swimmer, but that puts you into that category of so much pikuach nefesh to you that it's also to try. Then you wave to him as he goes down the third time and shake. Offer your moral support. These are the facts of life. Okay? This, by the way, if I can sum up a little theological point, here's where I had occasion to lecture on some of these topics for the Navy this summer. Here's where we differ. We find tremendous antagonism when we deal with non-Jewish groups on this notion. And you have to understand why. It's very important. To them, the idea of giving your life to someone else, that's the equal of salvation. This is supposedly, after all, Yisroish, that's what they accomplished, right? We say he's a chassid shaitet, it was true. He ever existed, and he did what he did, he's a chassid shaitet. Why do you give your life to someone else, for some one person, some 10 people? Right? But the idea that you denigrate someone who forfeits his life for the benefit of others means you're attacking the basis of their mood. So you should be sensitive to that point. You find yourself, doesn't mean you should back off from the torch, just be sensitive to it. And you should know that you're an economic. And I always make a point to make it just that way. The idea of anyone giving his life to somebody else denies the fact that it's not your life to give. Not your life to give. You're a gospel, you're a god. If you took God's life and gave it to somebody, who you got to knock it to give stuck it from Kodesh Bohu's pocketbook? Your life belongs to Kodesh Bohu, not okay, I cut the last part short. I think you recognize there's a lot here, and I wish you would finish off, because in the course I gave you a real solid ones. Milchem, you have anything that's disturbing you from the whole thing, you catch me in the hallway and ask me. Please.
Sorry? Why should one say more of a risk? People who do the same time as the average, sometimes the question on the other is, they're saying more people in the place on the people who lose their lives than people than they do in the
basement. I more break their legs, yeah, but lose their lives, I'm sure not. Skiing is not put, quote, as a sport that has a great fatal potential. Has a great potential for supporting the orthopedic profession. But fatality is the most unusual thing in skiing. Whereas in hunting, fatalities, I mean, this season now is now deer hunting season. They publish, they expect 700 people to lose their lives this year in hunting accidents. When you ask me a better question, are you allowed to drive home in a car during this next starting December 23rd, 24th, whenever that bad year. I want you to know I grew up in a little society where the rule was, for that reason alone, you don't go out to December 25th riding. No one would make a chasana on December 25th as they do nowadays. You should get why? Not because you're going to make a chasana on the night the Oysa Ish brought the Sinol Olam. We don't do it because we're going to the pushes. You don't go out New Year's Eve, you don't go out Christmas, you don't go out Thanksgiving Day, you don't go out Labor Day driving. You make sure you came home from the bungalows a day earlier or a day later. You don't travel at time. Mishum Sakonis. Those are factors. Should you take that into account halachically? That's also to drive on Labor Day. It's also to drive on New Year's Eve. Possibly. If there's no benefit to somehow counter the risk in a Hanami, if it's high no hach, and go New Year's Eve or go the following morning and go, nothing great issue. It's like Musa Mesos, also go New Year's Eve.
Everything that you describe.